Welcome to the Negotiations Ninja podcast, where we develop and deliver the most engaging negotiation content and training in the world. We host negotiation experts, business people, and entrepreneurs, and discuss what works, what doesn't work, and how we can improve our negotiation skills. Listeners, Mark here from Negotiations Ninja Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. Today is a bit of a somber discussion, and for good reason, because we have my good friend Scott Tillema on the show. And the reason I want Scott on is to talk all about negotiating in crisis-based situations, specifically when it comes to suicide or attempted suicide. There are a lot of people who are going through a lot of struggles right now because they've been hit with the economic weight or the mental weight that has happened as a result of the crisis that we've all been through. And those people need help in a very, very big way. Something that Scott knows how to do better than most is to talk with people who are going through crises. He is a crisis and hostage negotiator. He's got a number of amazing things that he's done online. He's done a great TED talk, so I highly encourage you to watch that. But most importantly, Scott knows all about talking people through crises. And I am so encouraged and deeply impacted by his words, and I wanted to share them with you today. It's very important that you all listen to this because you may be helping someone through a difficult time right now, and you may need to know what to say and how to say it. And Scott takes us through how to do those things. So I'm thrilled to be able to share this with you, and I hope you never have to deal with some of the stuff that a lot of people are going through right now. But if you do, at least this is a decent starting point, a good resource for you to think about how to approach those types of situations. Enjoy. Scott, we're here. We made it, man. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Mark. Nice to be with you once again. Great to be back on the Negotiations Ninja podcast.
Yeah, man. Stoked to have you. We're going to have a lot of fun today and also talk about something fairly serious. But before we get into that, there are some people who don't know who you are. So maybe you could give the listeners a bit of background as to who you are and what you do.
Sure. My name is Scott Tillema. I am a police officer in the Chicago suburbs, and my interest is negotiation. I spent many years doing police hostage and crisis negotiation, and now I work with the Schroner Negotiation Institute as a trainer and with the Big Speak Speakers Bureau as a keynote speaker. And in my spare time, I travel the country and I speak to police hostage negotiators and offer some insight and training for them.
And you've got a killer TED Talk as well.
I do. I was very lucky to be invited to give a TED Talk that I open with a line that we live in a world filled with people in crisis. And that was 2016. And we are right in the midst of a pretty nasty, life-changing pandemic. So it's just as relevant today as it was back then and still keeps catching people's attention. So I'm very lucky.
And that's why I'm so blessed, I think, to have you in my life and to have you on this show, because you understand crisis at a level that a lot of people would scarcely imagine, being, you know, having that crisis negotiation background experience in the police force and seeing the things that you see. And there's a lot of people struggling right now that are in the midst of crisis, you know, whether it's personally or professionally. A lot of people have lost jobs, and what's going to end up happening is I would assume that we're going to see suicide or attempted suicide rates increase if they haven't done so already. And there are many loved ones that'll be involved with a lot of these attempts that'll have absolutely no idea how to handle it. And so I want this episode really to help those people. So let's maybe start there around approach and process. I would love it if you could take us through maybe a step-by-step of how to have a discussion with someone who may be attempting suicide, or in any circumstance, whether it's, you know, with a blade or jumping off a bridge or whatever it is. I know you've been in a few of those circumstances. How do we start the process?
Yeah, and that's a really important question, because in my line of work as a SWAT hostage negotiator, when I did this type of work, we would get called if, say, the local police department could not resolve the situation. And really, it's the frontline police officers out there that are doing a lot of these initial negotiations and having these difficult conversations. And by the time it gets escalated to a SWAT negotiator, it's pretty clear what's going on. It's pretty clear what the problem is. And we can kind of get to work. But what we're going to be going through now, where people are suffering, where people are struggling, is going to be a little bit more difficult to, first of all, identify who these people are. And I think that's a really important first step, to try to take some time and identify if you have someone who might be having thoughts of suicide. So that's really where we need to start the conversation, by having a very direct conversation and asking the question to someone, you know, are you having thoughts of suicide? Are you having suicidal thoughts right now? And maybe setting the tone and setting the conversation to let them know, hey, I care about you. And that would probably be the best first step, to be someone who does care, whether this person be a stranger to you or whether they be a coworker or a family member, to let them know that you care and you're available. And this is a really difficult thing. When I've done training with police officers who are working to be negotiators, to ask this question very directly, or even rank and file police officers, we kind of dance around it. And we don't go to the question of, are you thinking of suicide? Is this something that you're considering now? And I think people are worried, you know, am I going to put this idea in their head? I don't really want to bring it up. But I think that for the people who are having these thoughts, at least in my experience, they're pretty willing to let you know, maybe something I'm thinking about. But also, it depends on if we've set the stage correctly. You want to do this privately, obviously. You don't want to do this in front of anyone, because I think some people might think of it as something to be ashamed of or something they might not want to admit. So if we can get somewhere privately and be comfortable and know that this is a safe conversation to ask that very question. And if the answer is no, and it turns out to be not the case, okay. But the answer might be yes. And at least this person knows, hey, this is someone who reached out to me. So maybe I'm not ready to let them know, or maybe I don't have the courage to say yes, or I'm not quite ready to have that conversation. The very first step is, let me ask you a direct question. Are you thinking of suicide?
Amazing. And even if the answer is no, it doesn't mean that necessarily we should ask once and let it go at that, because it may be that you're right, where they just don't want to say something. So maybe we ask a little while later in another conversation that we might have as well.
Right. Or even we can get into it in a different way and discuss, man, there's a lot of people out there who probably are working through this. And you and I can have this discussion about that, just to say, hey, it's okay to talk about this. It's okay to have this conversation.
Yes.
And if we get to the point where they say, you know, yeah, or we don't get a firm no, you know, some ambiguous response, that's always going to be a bit concerning. And then we kind of have to move on. I see it kind of as a four-step process. And the second step really needs to be a discussion of, you know, have you given this enough thought that you've come up with a plan for how you would do this? And there's statistics out there that show that men have a tendency to do this in a more violent way. And however the plan might be, whether it be for pills or with a weapon of some sort, if somebody has thought about it, they may have given some thought to, you know, this is how I would go about doing it. And for the people who say, yes, I've thought about it, but, you know, I really haven't given it much thought beyond that, of course, that's concerning. And we're going to work with them and have a conversation and see how we can be helpful. But when we get an affirmation to, yes, I have a plan, then the level of concern needs to go up a little bit further. Maybe at this point, it might not be bad to see if, unless you're a trained individual, to maybe see if you can start to get some support, because it's getting pretty serious at this level. And the last thing I would want is for someone who's not really trained in this, and even if their heart's in the right spot, there's a lot of things in life that I want to do that I'm not good at doing, that I should never really do, and you shouldn't let me do it. So that doesn't mean that I don't want to, my heart's not in the right spot, but let's get some help and reach out and make sure that the person who is working through a suicidal person or working with a suicidal person gets the support they need. Because the last thing I would want is for something to go wrong and someone completes suicide, and that one person who is trying to help have to look back and say, you know, what could have I done better, different, or question somehow what they did. So I think that step two, explore, do they have a plan? And really, what is that plan? And if that's the case, then I think the important third step is really going to be discussing the means to do so, and do you have access to the means to do this? You say, I want to kill myself, and I see myself doing this with a gun. You know, do you have a gun? Well, no, I don't. But, you know, I'm maybe starting to look at where I could get it. Is very, very different from, yes, this is my plan, and I have access to the means right now. I have the pills, and they're right in front of me. I have a knife, I have a blade, whatever it is, and it's here, it's ready to go right now. At this point, it's very, very concerning because it wouldn't take a whole lot for suicide to be completed. So then the fourth question needs to be, in pretty quick succession, I would suggest is, you know, when would you plan on doing this? I mean, do you have immediate plans for doing so? And if the answer is yes, of course, you need immediate intervention. And this is not a time to set up a date with a therapist or start Googling for a counselor, but really to pick up the phone and call 911 or get emergency services over there because we need an immediate intervention.
Hey, listeners, I want to tell you about another company that I run called Content Callout. It is a thought leadership brand marketing company. Now, what does that mean? It means that we take you as an executive or entrepreneur, a leader of a small or medium-sized business, and we turn you into a thought leader online. We take your personal brand and we amp it up to 11. So that you can lead with confidence, knowing that people will recognize you, recognize your brand, and recognize your business because of the thought leadership approach that you've taken on social media through content creation and content distribution, as well as engaging with all of your following online. How do you get involved in this? Easy, easy, easy. Just go to contentcallout.com/get-started, and you will see there three different options that will allow you to take your thought leadership brand for yourself and for your business to the next level. We are super excited to talk to you about this. We've seen some massive growth with the businesses that we've been working with. Very, very exciting time for us. Look at that. We appreciate it. Now back to your show.
Following these four steps is really going to give you a baseline of where are we at with this person and how concerned and how quickly do we need to act? Are you having thoughts of suicide? Do you have a plan for how to do it? Do you have access to the means to do it? And when do you plan on doing this act? So I think that if that gives a bit of a framework on how to engage in questions and how to approach it, that's kind of what I would suggest to be a pretty good format to get you started.
Brilliant. Yeah, I love that you laid it out in a step-by-step format. Now, let's just say, for example, our listeners come across a loved one who's already potentially ready to complete the act. You know, they're on the edge of the building, they've got the blade in their hand, they're holding the pills, they're ready to go. How do we approach that? I mean, obviously, we're going to call emergency services and bring in people to support. And just for the listeners, just so that you know, I think something that Scott said that was really brilliant was get the support that you need, call for help when you need it, because just like you're trying to be there for that person, you need someone there to support you. And if you don't have that support, then the likelihood of you being successful is also very, very low. So let's just say, for example, you come across a loved one or someone who's ready to do this. Where do we take it from here?
So again, reach out for help to the professionals and get help coming right away. And I wouldn't want to do anything that's going to incite this person to act, but if you can call 911, great. If for some reason that's too much, the National Suicide Hotline, 800-273-TALK, that's 273-8255. If you need to talk on the phone with somebody, if you need to have a text conversation, crisis text line is available, 741-741, where you can have anonymous text conversations. And I do some volunteer work with them as a crisis counselor. Maybe we can get back to that in a minute. But you're going to still need to have a conversation with this person. So get some immediate help coming. But in your conversation with them, the last thing that you want to do is to start going down the road of, you know, I understand, and telling them you understand when you really don't, because that's going to be patronizing and that's not going to go over well. You want to be thoughtful, curious. I don't think that we should discount anything that they say. Be very thoughtful in, you know, what we're saying and how we're saying it. But don't be a problem solver. I don't think that this is the time, especially if we're really kind of at the point that you described where it's really kind of an acute situation. Don't be a problem solver. It's our natural tendency to say, man, Mark's in a really bad spot right now, so I'm going to come in and save the day. I think that a more effective approach would be to be the person who listens to them rather than say, hey, let me try to fix you. Let me give you this little piece of advice or that little piece of advice. If they're really at a spot where they're thinking and they're on the edge of completing suicide, you know, hey, Mark, tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what's on your mind. What has you stressed right now? And listen, and just instead of trying to solve the problem, just get information. Just be a good listener. And all of us, when we are under stress, when we are angry, when we are upset about something, it feels so good to get that off our shoulder, whether it be talking to someone, screaming, punching a pillow, going for a long run. Getting that out of our body helps clear our mind. So give that person an opportunity to get that off their shoulders and be a good listener. Be thoughtful.
When you're being that good listener, would there be words that you wouldn't use? Like, yes, definitely, we don't want to be that problem solver. We want to be that listener. But I've often heard, you know, like watching some dramas on TV, you hear people say, calm down. And they're like, geez, that's the worst thing that you should say during. No one in the history of mankind has ever calmed down after being told to calm down.
Oh, my gosh.
Other things that like people shouldn't say.
One of the presentations that I'm giving right now, exclusive to police, is a lengthy debrief on a hostage situation that our team negotiated. And we have audio of a dispatcher telling the hostage taker to calm down, calm down. And it always kind of gives us chuckles, and not in any way to disparage this person's best effort, but it's a great learning point to say, look at how well this worked or how it didn't work, actually, in this case, of course. But I think every situation is going to be unique to the person you're talking to and the situation that they're in at that moment. Because what might work for me might not work for you. And what might work for me right now might not work for me when I'm really tired and I haven't eaten and I've been chasing my kids around all day. So the words, I think, are probably important, but the way you convey them, I preach this over and over, is so much more important how you deliver that. And if you can do that in a thoughtful, loving, compassionate tone, I think that can cover a multitude of mistakes of using the wrong word. And you can go back on it and say, you know what, I apologize if that upset you or if that offended you. I sincerely didn't mean that. Let me come back and let's try this again from a different approach. So instead of spending a lot of time preparing for what you're going to say, be very thoughtful in how you are conveying this. Because for people who don't do this, this is going to be a really, really stressful situation. And when we're under stress, under pressure, under stress, our rate is going to go really, really high. The pressure of our words is going to be really intense, and they're going to feel that. And that's now doing the opposite of what we're trying to do when we want to be a little bit slower, a little bit smoother, a little bit softer, and a little bit more loving.
Love that approach, man. You mentioned earlier on in the conversation that you do some volunteer work with Crisis Lines right now. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Crisis Text Line. Anyone, anywhere can send a text to 741741, and you will be connected with a real live person who will talk with you. And this person is a trained crisis counselor, and it doesn't matter who you are. I feel like I have a pretty solid background in negotiation and good education in the field. And I, like every other crisis counselor on the platform, go through a 30-hour training on how to talk with someone who might be under stress or might be suicidal. So anybody, anywhere can dial 741741 and start a text conversation with a real person. And what's fascinating right now, I mean, given the circumstances of, we're in a nasty pandemic. So last year in the fall, I remember when the platform would get real busy, they would encourage us to take, to maybe do a couple conversations at once because there's such a great need and people are waiting to talk to somebody. And that's the last thing that anyone would want, to have to wait to talk to a counselor when they're in this type of situation. It is so encouraging to know that the last three times that I've logged onto the platform, I have been unable to have a conversation with anyone. which is completely opposite from what I would expect, to say, hey, there's a lot of people out there who are hurting, a lot of people who need to have these conversations. I haven't been able to because there are so many crisis counselors on the line waiting to help. So for anyone who might be thinking, you know what, I'm alone and nobody cares, there's no one who can help me, truly, this afternoon, there were 81 conversations going on and 204 crisis counselors waiting to help. So on a regular day, maybe you're having one, two, or a couple conversations, you have all these counselors just sitting there waiting to help. So how encouraging is that to say,
amazing,
at a time that all of us, every one of us is struggling in some way, and our lives are certainly changed from how they were a few months ago before COVID hit. There are this many people out there who care about you, who want to help you, who are waiting to talk to you and volunteering their time to say, hey, we're here, let's have a chat.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, there's been so many amazing people that have really stepped up to help in so many different ways. And to me, you're one of those people just by having this conversation with our listeners and also by volunteering your time on that crisis text line. We appreciate you and the wisdom that you share and the counseling and the advice that you give. To that end, how do people find you online, Scott?
I'm very active on LinkedIn. I don't have much of a presence on other platforms, and I still don't have a webpage, and I still don't have a book. LinkedIn, Scott Tillema. Be happy to connect with you and your listeners. And I absolutely enjoy those who have a passion to serve, who are in the field of negotiations. Please reach out. Please connect. Be happy to chat with any of you.
Awesome, man. And listen, I want you to know that we appreciate everything that you do as well. Having had you on the show now a few times talking about all things negotiation, your wisdom, your knowledge base, everything that you put into this discipline is just amazing. Love your content on LinkedIn and just love the conversations that we get into, man. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Mark, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
Hey friends, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with friends and colleagues so that they can benefit from it as well. If you find Negotiations Ninja Podcast worthy, please go on to iTunes and give us a cool rating with a nice review. We certainly appreciate every single one that we get because it helps us to understand who is listening, how they're listening, and what it is they like. If there's something that you would like me to discuss around negotiation, influence, or persuasion, give me a shout. You know how to reach me on social media, or you can get me on my website, which is www.negotiations.ninja.